Maybe you've been wondering lately, what can you really count on these days?
He's not only my crutch, he's my stretcher. And when I need somewhere to hit, you know, just hit the ground and go back, he's there. You know, you can count on him, you know? Well, you can't count on anything in this world, but you can count on Jesus.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
We're all pretty familiar with the importance of a good, healthy diet. It's needed for our physical growth and then later in life to remain healthy. Well, spiritual food is essential for our spiritual health, and that comes primarily through the Word of God. Today on Sound Doctrine, we'll talk about the importance of the Word in our lives as Pastor Jeff Johnson continues through 1 Peter. We're at the tail end of chapter 1.
In chapter 1 of Peter, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So the power of God's word, we're his new creation. We're a new creation in Christ, a new family that we're born. You know, we're born of our natural parents, okay, and we're here today. But we're also born from our Father, which is in heaven. A spiritual birth, which is powerful. That's why Jesus said, Nicodemus, I know you're religious, but you need to get right with God. But I'm religious. I do the commandments. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You need to be born again from your Father, which is in heaven. You were born of a physical parent, but now spiritually you need to be God's child. And you need to cry out and ask God to forgive you. You know, there was this doctor that was dying of cancer. And this brother came and saw him, and he knew him, and he begged him. He said, Doc, you're dying, man. You need to cry out to God. You need to get saved. You need to invite Jesus into your heart. You need to just become a child of God because, you know, if you don't, you know, the other way is not going to be good. You need to come to the Lord. And then all of a sudden he mentioned, well, Doc, you need to be born again. And all of a sudden the doc lit up. And his eyes got big. And he said this. He said, I know in my life I've delivered hundreds of babies. This is what he said. And I know a baby has no past, only a future. I know this. So tell me some more about this being born again. You know, he wanted to hear about this. What does it mean to be born again, this future? He knew what was going to happen to him. But I want to hear about this promise. What do you mean born again? I'm going to have a future? Oh, you're going to have a great future. What are you talking about? Listen, this is a divine nature that has been put upon us. Remember John 1:12. As many as receive Jesus, you become the children of God. You actually become that child of God. And he's your father now. Jesus is your best friend. I mean, it gets down to that simplicity. The Holy Spirit indwells us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. We're joint heirs with Christ. What does that mean? God has put us right in heirship with Jesus Christ. What he gets, we get. That's incredible. You talk about an inheritance. Yeah, but my earthly parents didn't leave anything. Okay, God left everything for you. And what a hope. I mean, it's just waiting for us. So we're joint heirs with Christ. We get new bodies. These new ones, we're going to shed them. Hey, it's all right. The zipper's broke anyhow. It's got tears and rips and the rain leaks. And it just, it's slowly but surely falling apart. Thank God we've got the hope of a new body, and we can look forward to that new body, living forever with him and all of our loved ones who have gone on to be with him. What a hope. So this is not of corruptible seed, he says. Corruptible seed doesn't have life, doesn't give a thing. But this is God's good seed. God's Spirit uses God's word, and he'll honor his word, the Bible says, above his name. I mean, his word is everything to him. And what he says, he means. And what he does is good. And this is a good work that he does. He'll honor his word above his name. Over in Romans, in the book of Romans, chapter 10, in verse 14, interesting little saying here. Well, I don't know, how are they going to call on the Lord in whom they have not believed? I mean, you can't call on the Lord if you don't believe in him. The only way you're going to call is if you believe in him. And how are they going to believe in him whom they have not heard? I mean, they haven't heard that there's a good news. Do you know how many people in our nation today don't even know about Jesus, don't even know about the good news? I mean, we were at one time one nation under God. Not anymore. We are a pagan nation, and many people, thousands upon millions, do not know the gospel, haven't heard it yet. So he's saying, well, if they have not heard, how are they going to hear without a preacher? Someone's got to go tell them. And how shall they preach except they be sent, these ones? You know, and Jesus says, so send I you. And you go out any one of these doors, and it says you're now entering your mission field. You're all missionaries. You're all ministers of God. You're all to be out there spreading the good news, sharing the gospel. The gospel is simplistic. God sent his son. He died on a cross. He was buried, and he resurrected. That's the power of the gospel. It's good news because it changes those who believe in it completely, forever. For eternity. So how are they going to preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good news of peace and bring good tidings of good things to people. Oh, that's what we need to be, giving out the good news of Jesus Christ to people, not telling them bad news. Well, every once in a while you got to mention Revelation, right? Well, you got to. I mean, I worked with guys out in the oil fields that were tough guys, man. And so you give them the love of the Lord, and they take so much, and they go, hey, get out of here. Then you start giving them a little revelation, and they go, huh? What else is going to happen? You know? They want to hear it all, you know? And so you give them that. But, hey, we just need to share the good news that we don't have to go through what this world's going through. We're going to get out of here. That's the promise, isn't it? The Lord's going to take his church out of this world right before the great tribulation period. If you don't know what I'm talking about the great tribulation period, read Revelation. Just do a sit down. Read Revelation chapter 6 through 19. And your hair and your neck is going to stand up. And you go, I don't want to be here when that happens. So it helps us to have an awareness that you don't have to be here. It's your choice if you are here. Seriously. So God uses his word. God always uses his word. Expositional consistency means that he always uses the gospel because his word needs to be believed. But here's the problem. In the beginning, man fell. Adam bombed because he didn't believe God's word. God says, don't touch that. He said, which? Where? I want to touch it. It says, wet paint? I want to touch it. It's wet paint. That's how stubborn man is. And Eve, the serpent came to Eve and said, yea, hath God said to you? You can eat of all the trees, you know, and you know, he just deceived Eve. And then Eve, you know, it was a part of deceiving the man. They both caused us to be where we're at today. But God knew that was going to happen. And that's why he covered them with animal skins. It starts with blood, doesn't it? We talked about that yet last week. So important to see the blood applied to our hearts, to our lives, and then to our children and our children's children. And just as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So both faith and conviction come by hearing God's word. Remember over in Acts chapter 2, Peter, that little bit of sermon that he shared? It says in chapter 2 of Acts in verse 37, and when they heard this, they heard Peter's sermon, and it just pricked them in their hearts, it says. It's troubled them. And they said to Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I mean, hearing these things that we committed, we killed the Son of God? We crucified the Messiah? Then Peter said unto them, you need to repent, turn away from what you're doing in your life, and get baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all of those afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. See, God calls us to be his children. Now, you got to answer the call. The Spirit draws, God's calling. You need to be obedient and just say, okay, I'm busted. I'm a sick sinner. I'm messed up. And I know it. I need salvation. I need something that I don't understand, but I can't keep going the way I'm going because I'm ruining my family. I'm ruining my life. Things are crazy. See, what God has working for him is he has the world, the flesh, and the devil. They all work for God. Did you know that? He just lets us have our thing and do our thing until we finally cry out to him, if we do. Now, there's some that are stubborn, that stiffen their neck and say no all the way to the end. What can you do? God chooses his friends. You want to be friends with God? You got to make the choice. And once you make that choice and say, I want to be a friend of God, I want to walk with God, I want to know this Jesus personally, then everything changes. Not only does God's word bring cleansing, it brings conviction. And the blood is applied. And then the Lord says, as he came into that room where they were all up in the upper room in John 20:22. Let me read it to you. He said, Jesus came into them and said, peace, shalom unto you. As my Father has sent me, I love this last part, so send I you. He sent me to finish the work. I finished the work. Now you carry the work on. And then he said, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And that's where the church was born, there in John 20:22. And then later on, in the book of Acts, in chapter 1, verse 8, it says, when you're in Jerusalem, you will go into the upper room and wait upon the Lord. And as you're waiting there, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Now, you have asked him in, he's in you, but now you need to ask God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and he'll come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses wherever you go. Through his power, standing in his power and his might, not yours, just knowing you have a conviction, knowing that you know the Lord and you know what he's called you to do. You got a mission. You're on a mission. You're a soldier in the army. You're to go for those things that are attacking God's people. You're to use the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness and all of the equipment to the glory of God. And he'll help you to understand them and use them. Remember Acts 2:42, Christian? What did they do? They consistently, steadfastly were in the apostles' doctrine. They were in the word of God. They were in prayer. They were in fellowship. They had communion together. And that held them together. That kept them together. Don't forsake yourselves gathering together as the manner of some is, but more so in these last days. Don't kick back because there's many kicking back today. Churches are literally having less and less people in them. Literally receiving less and less funds to do missions work. Why is that? What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. The enemy's having a victory. And those that are in church today, some are, it's because of tradition. It's because, you know, we just go to church. They don't have a clue about what they're to do from that point on. They listen to their preacher, and if he has a few good jokes, they go, that was good. Thank you very much. Well, I had fun, you know? No, it's not about having fun. It's about listening to the word of the Lord, being convicted by God, and it's about change. It's about us coming in this place and being transformed into his image by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what we're here for. Hopefully that's why you're here. You want to be transformed, refreshed, restored. Because every time we come, God has something for us to strengthen us, to get us back going again. Hebrews 4, verse 12. This is a good one. This is the best one on the Word of God. Hebrews 4, 12. For the Word of God is a quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of the soul and the spirit. It just really goes deep into the heart and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word will minister to us in every area. So shall the enemy minister to you out there. When you're not here, there's something that's here that is spiritual that takes us out of the world and puts us into a spiritual realm. And this is where we're sitting today. This is very unique. Very unique. This does not happen everywhere else. You can have this happen even alone. But where two or three are gathered, you can have this happen all the time. That's why fellowship is so important, that we hang with one another, we dwell with one. This is our holy huddle, if you will, where God is able to do his work. And then we go into our mission field, and God is helping us to use his word, first of all, in our own hearts, that we're listening, and then in our minds, because I'm telling you, I've told you before, the enemy is using the mind to cause people to back off. Back off, man. You're getting too into this. Back off. You don't have to give your money to those people. What's that about? You know? And then all of a sudden, churches are being cut off, cut off, cut off, cut off. And they're getting smaller and smaller. And that's what's happening today throughout our nation. I mean, you hear it all the time. We have less and less people coming out on Wednesday nights. We have less people coming out on Sundays. Instead of, you know, remember when it was back in the day, when 9/11, remember that? 9/11. For 2 weeks, this place was packed. Every service was packed for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, they're gone. Well, we were kind of scared, and we kind of came into a church because, you know, isn't that what it's for, you know, when you're scared? Then after 2 weeks, we weren't so scared anymore, and everything got back to normal. Bye. Thank you for that little time we had. And that's what's going on. That's what people are looking. They just, if it doesn't just, you know, fit their what they want to see and what they want to do. And if people are fickle, man. They, you know, 1 minute they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, praise God, the Messiah's here. And the next week they're saying, crucify him, kill him. That's what they did in 1 week. See, we're so fickle in our feelings and all. We don't go by feelings. We go by the Word of God. We don't go by experiences. Yeah. We don't go by experiences either. Oh, I got goosebumps today. Did you get it? Did you feel that? Look at what was that, you know? And they're all supernatural, spiritual weirdness. And there's people that you know, there's certain things that are to be done in the church and certain things that aren't to be done. And they figured out, if Jesus taught it, if it was in the book of Acts and Paul taught about it, it's to be done in the church. So you look at water baptism, we do that in the church. So they just look at this thing of, here's a way, and spirit baptism, Holy Spirit baptism, it was talked about with Jesus. It was done in Acts, and Paul wrote about it, so we believe in that. So there's certain things that we do, but when it comes to, you know, doing things like, stuff like, you know, a slain in the spirit, you know, where people fall down, people hit them and they fall down, we don't do that here. And it's really not done in the scriptures, only a few times, but it's not wasn't really talked about with Jesus and wasn't done. It was done in Acts, definitely. There were a couple of people slain in the spirit, but that they were dead, you know. And so we don't get into emotions. There are certain churches that get into emotions. There are certain people that believe that, you know, I see the Holy Spirit in the church as the power that God gives to us to drive the train down the track, to get us through what we're into. It's so powerful. The steam that runs the locomotive, it's so heavy of equipment, and yet it just flies. And every once in a while, they'll toot the horn, right? And there's some Christians that think they gotta always toot the horn. The horn is the most important part. No, it's the Spirit. And the horn, it could be, you know, speaking in another language. It could be prophecy or something. But it's done down the road, but not all the time. We have been given this power by the Holy Spirit to keep us going. So we need to continue to embrace it.
You're listening to a study in 1 Peter on sound doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson has a bit more to say to us, and we'll hear that shortly. Well, you can hear these studies in 1 Peter anytime you'd like at sounddoctrineradio.org. If you have a smartphone or tablet, download our free app. And just do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey. That'll enable you to hear the very latest message from Pastor Jeff. And we can also send you a CD copy of this message when you call 800-353-7553. If you've been listening for just about any length of time, you know that we're committed to bringing you the sound doctrine that we find in God's Word. But we can't do it alone. We rely on the faithful support of our listeners to do this. And if you would like to help people all over the world have access to sound doctrine, you can make a secure donation at sounddoctrineradio.org. And while you're at it, you might want to request our featured resource. It's called The Crucified Life by A.W. Tozer. You may recall it was the Apostle Paul who declared in his letter to the Galatians that he had been crucified with Christ. But what does that mean? Is this a claim every believer can and should make? Well, The Crucified Life is a comprehensive examination of these questions, and Tozer set out to answer them with deep biblical thinking. At the heart of this book, you'll find a call to follow Christ to the cross and be raised to new life. To order a copy today for just $15, visit sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Now let's look at one more verse today in 1 Peter chapter 1.
Now, finally, look at verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. So man and his glory, what is it? It's compared to God's word, it's nothing. It's like the grass. Or it's like James says, it's like the fog that comes in. Here for a moment and then gone all of a sudden. Life is like that. It's short. It's this here and it's gone. So it's very frail. It's something that, you get old. And in Ecclesiastes, remember we talked about in chapter 12, verse 3, it talks about how the first thing that begins to give way in our bodies is the legs. And the two legs that hold up the house. And they get weak, and you're afraid to trip. You can't go down the stairs, you know, and that's the first thing to go. And then all of a sudden, other things go. The eyes, you can't see. The teeth begin to fall out. This happens, that happens. I mean, you start losing your hair. You lose this. You lose your mind after a while, you know? I mean, you start, you know, losing it. And it takes its toll. In fact, there was one place where Paul talks about, we don't wrestle for a corruptible crown. We wrestle for an incorruptible crown. But, you know, those corruptible crowns are the trophies that have been given out. We have all been at trophy day, and when the kids are getting trophies, or maybe you were going to get a trophy, and you ended up getting a trophy, and you love that trophy. I remember when I first got that first surfing trophy, And I remember, you know, just being so proud of it. And I'd have it in my bedroom right there in the bookcase, you know. And then after a while, you know, years would go by and all of a sudden it's gone. I don't know where it is. Where's that trophy? You know, I started digging back in the garage and there was in this box and I reached down and I picked it up and it's missing an arm. And I said, this is my trophy. I found the arm. I got some duct tape, black, and I put a wetsuit on him. And I go, hey, he's looking pretty good. And I wiped him off and, you know, he was looking pretty good. But it's a corruptible crown, man. And you guys, you know, go ahead, go look for your crowns. They were so important at one time. But they're corruptible. They fall apart, you lose them, they're gone. But no, not with the Lord. Man, everything is precious.
Next time on Sound Doctrine, we're talking about our spiritual growth as Pastor Jeff opens 1 Peter chapter 2. This program is listener supported and brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So far.